27. He was no simple soldier. He was a force of leadership, a man that fate itself seemed to support.
All right, Straff said, setting down his fork. Let's be honest, boy. I'm this close to simply having you killed.
You'd execute your only son? Elland asked.
Straff shrugged.
You need me, Elland said, to help you fight Set. You can kill me, but you'd gain nothing. You'd still have to take Luthadel by force, and Set would still be able to attack and defeat you in your weakened state.
Straff smiled, folding his arms, leaning forward so he loomed over the table.
You are wrong on both counts, boy. First, I think that if I killed you, the next leader of Luthadel would be more accommodating. I have certain interests in the city who indicate that is true. Second, I don't need your help to fight Set. He and I already have a treaty.
Elland paused.
What?
What do you think I've been doing these last few weeks? Sitting and waiting on your whims? Set and I have exchanged pleasantries. He's not interested in the city, he just wants the Atium. We agreed to split what we discover in Luthadel, then work together to take the rest of the Final Empire. He conquers to the west and north, I head east and south. Very accommodating man, Set.
He's bluffing, Elland thought with reasonable certainty. That wasn't Straff's way. He wouldn't make an alliance with someone so near to him in strength. Straff feared betrayal too much.
You think I would believe that? Elland said.
Believe what you wish, Straff said.
And the Kolos army marching this way?
Elland asked, playing one of their trump cards. This made Straff pause.
If you want to take Luthadel before those Kolos get here, father, Elland said, then I think you might want to be a little more accommodating toward the man who's come offering you everything you want. I only ask one thing. Let me have a victory. Let me fight Set, secure my legacy. Then you can have the city.
Straff thought about it. Thought about it long enough that Ellen dared to hope he might just have won. Then, however, Straff shook his head.
No, I think not. I'll take my chances with Set. I don't know why he is willing to let me have Luthadel, but he doesn't seem to care much about it.
And you do? Ellen said. You know we don't have the Atium. What does the city matter to you now?
Straff leaned forward a bit farther. Elland could smell his breath, odorous from the dinner spices.
That's where you are wrong about me, boy. That's why, even if you'd been able to promise me that Atium, you would never have left this camp tonight. I made a mistake a year ago. If I'd stayed in Luthadel, I would have been the one on that throne. Instead, it was you. I can't imagine why. I guess a weak venture was still better than the other alternatives.
Straff was everything Elland had hated about the old empire. Presumptuous, cruel, arrogant.
Weakness, Elland thought, calming himself. I can't be threatening.
He shrugged.
It's only a city, father. From my position, it doesn't matter half as much as your army. It's more than a city, Straff said. It's the Lord Ruler's city, and it has my home in it, my keep. I understand that you're using it as your palace.
I didn't really have any other place to go.
Straff turned back to his meal.
All right, he said, in between cutting chunks of steak. At first I thought you were an idiot for coming tonight, but now I'm not so certain. You must have seen the inevitable.
You're stronger, Elland said. I can't stand up to you.
Straff nodded.
You've impressed me, boy. Wearing proper clothing, getting yourself a Mistborn mistress, maintaining control of the city. I'm going to let you live.
Thank you, Elland said.
And in exchange, you're going to give me Luthadel.
As soon as Set is dealt with.
Straff laughed.
No, that's not the way these things work, boy. We're not negotiating. You're listening to my orders. Tomorrow we'll ride to the city together, and you'll order the gates opened. I'll march my army in and take command, and Luthadel will become the new capital of my kingdom. If you stay in line and do as I say, I'll name you heir again.
We can't do that, Ellen said. I left orders that the gates weren't to be opened to you no matter what.
Straff paused.
My advisors thought you might try and use Vin as a hostage, forcing me to relinquish the city, Ellen said. If we go together, they'll assume you're threatening me.
Straff's mood darkened.
You'd better hope that they don't.
They will, Ellen said. I know these men, Father. They'd be eager for an excuse to take the city away from me.
Then why come here?
To do as I said, Ellen said. To negotiate an alliance against Set. I can deliver Luthadel to you, but I still need time. Let's take down Set first.
Straff grabbed his dinner knife by the hilt and slammed it down into the table.
I said this wasn't a negotiation. You don't make demands, boy. I could have you killed.
I'm just stating facts, Father, Ellen said quickly. I don't want to...
You've gotten smooth, Straff said, eyes narrowing.
What did you hope to accomplish with this game? Coming to my camp, bringing nothing to offer.
He paused, then continued.
Nothing to offer except for that girl.
Pretty little thing she is.
Ellen flushed.
That won't get you into the city. Remember, my advisors thought you might try threatening her.
Fine, Straff snapped. You die. I take the city by force.
And Set attacks you from behind, Ellen said, pinning you against our wall and forcing you to fight surrounded.
He'd take heavy losses, Straff said. He wouldn't be able to take and hold the city after that.
Even with diminished forces, he'd have a better chance of taking it from us than he would if he waited and tried to take it from you.
Straff stood.
I'll have to take that chance. I left you behind before. I'm not going to let you loose again, boy. Those cursed Scar were supposed to kill you and leave me free of you.
Ellen stood as well. However, he could see the resolve in Straff's eyes. It isn't working, Ellen thought, panic beginning to set in. This plan had been a gamble, but he hadn't ever really thought that he'd fail. Indeed, he'd played his cards well. But something was wrong, something he hadn't anticipated and still didn't understand. Why was Straff resisting so much? I'm too new to this, Ellen thought. Ironically, if he had let his father train him better as a child, he might have known what he'd done wrong. As it was, he suddenly realized the gravity of his situation. Surrounded by a hostile army, separated from Vin. He was going to die.
Wait, Ellen said desperately.
Ah, Straff said, smiling. Finally realized what you've gotten yourself into?
There was pleasure in Straff's smile. Eagerness. There had always been something inside Straff that had enjoyed hurting others, though Ellen had rarely seen it applied to him. Propriety had always been there to stop Straff. Propriety enforced by the Lord Ruler. At that moment, Ellen saw murder in his father's eyes.
You never intended to let me live, Ellen said. Even if I'd given you the Atium, even if I'd gone with you to the city.
You were dead the moment I decided to march here, Straff said. Idiot boy. I do thank you for bringing me that girl, though. I'll take her tonight. We'll see if she cries my name or yours while I'm...
Ellen laughed. It was a desperate laugh, a laugh at the ridiculous situation he'd gotten himself into, a laugh at his sudden worry and fear, but most of all it was a laugh at the idea of Straff trying to force himself upon Vin.
You have no idea how foolish you sound, Ellen said.
Straff flushed.
For that boy, I'll be extra rough with her.
You are a pig, Father, Ellen said. A sick, disgusting man. You thought you were a brilliant leader, but you were barely competent. You nearly got our house destroyed.
Only the Lord Ruler's own death saved you.
Straff called for his guards.
You may take Luthadel, Ellen said, but you'll lose it. I may have been a bad king, but you'll be a terrible one. The Lord Ruler was a tyrant, but he was also a genius. You're neither. You're just a selfish man who'll use up his resources, then end up dead from a knife in the back.
Straff pointed at Ellen as soldiers rushed in. Ellen didn't cringe. He'd grown up with this man, been raised by him, been tortured by him. And despite it all, Ellen had never spoken his mind. He'd rebelled with the petty timidity of a teenage boy, but he'd never spoken the truth. It felt good. It felt right. Perhaps playing the weak hand was a mistake against Straff. He always was fond of crushing things. And suddenly, Ellen knew what he had to do. He smiled, looking at Straff in the eyes.
Kill me, father, he said, and you'll die too.
Kill me, father, Ellen said, and you'll die too.
Vin paused. She stood outside the tent in the darkness of early night. She'd been standing with Straff's soldiers, but they'd rushed in at his command. She'd moved into the darkness and now stood on the north side of the tent, watching the shadowed forms move within. She'd been about to burst in. Ellen hadn't been doing very well. Not that he was a bad negotiator. He was just too honest by nature. It wasn't difficult to tell when he was bluffing, especially if you knew him well. But this new proclamation was different. It wasn't a sign of Ellen attempting to be clever, nor was it an angry outburst like the one he'd made moments before. Suddenly, he seemed calm and forceful. Vin waited quietly, her daggers out, tense in the mists before the glowing tent. Something told her she had to give Ellen just a few more moments. Straff laughed at Ellen's threat.
You're a fool, father, Ellen said. You think I came here to negotiate? You think I would willingly deal with one such as you? No. You know me better than that. You know that I'd never submit to you.
Then why? Straff asked.
She could almost hear Ellen's smile.
I came to get near you, father, and to bring my Mistborn to the very heart of your camp.
Silence. Finally, Straff laughed.
You threaten me with that wisp of a girl? If that's the great Mistborn of Luthadel I've been hearing of, then I'm sorely disappointed.
That's because she wants you to feel that way, Ellen said.
Think, father. You were suspicious, and the girl confirmed those suspicions. But if she's as good as the rumors say, and I know you've heard the rumors, then how would you have spotted her touch on your emotions?
You caught her soothing you, and you called her on it. Then you didn't feel the touch anymore, so you assumed that she was cowed. But after that, you began to feel confident, comfortable. You dismissed Vin as a threat. But would any rational man dismiss a Mistborn, no matter how small or quiet? In fact, you'd think that the small, quiet ones would be the assassins you'd want to pay the most attention to.
Vin smiled.
Clever, she thought.
She reached out, riding Straff's emotions, flaring her metal and stoking his sense of anger. He gasped in sudden shock.
Take the clue, Ellen.
Fear,
Ellen said. She soothed away Straff's anger and exchanged it for fear.
Passion,
she complied.
Calmness.
She soothed everything away. Inside the tent, she saw Straff's shadow standing stiffly. An allomancer couldn't force a person to do anything. And usually, strong pushes or pulls on an emotion were less effective since they alerted the target that something was wrong. In this case, however, Vin wanted Straff to know for certain she was watching. She smiled, extinguishing her tin. Then she burned duralumin and soothed Straff's emotions with explosive pressure, wiping away all capacity for feeling within him. His shadow stumbled beneath the attack. Her Her brass was gone a moment later, and she turned on her tin again, watching the black patterns on the canvas.
"She's powerful, Father," Ellen said. "She's more powerful than any Allomancer you've known. She killed the Lord Ruler. She was trained by the survivor of Hath-Sin.
And if you kill me, she'll kill you."
Straff righted himself, and the tent fell silent again. A footstep sounded. Vin spun, ducking, raising her dagger. A familiar figure stood in the night mists.
"Why is it I can never sneak up on you?" Zane asked quietly.
Vin shrugged and turned back to the tent, but moved herself so she could keep an eye on Zane, too. He walked over and crouched beside her, watching the shadows.
"That's hardly a useful threat," Straff finally said from within. "You'll be dead, even if your Mistborn does get to me."
"Ah, Father," Ellen said, "I was wrong about your interest in Luthadel. However, you're also wrong about me. You've always been wrong about me. I don't care if I die. Not if it brings safety to my people."
"Set will take the city if I'm gone," Straff said.
"I think my people might be able to hold against him," Ellen said. "After all, he has the smaller army."
"This is idiocy," Straff snapped.
He didn't, however, order his soldiers forward any farther.
"Kill me and you die too," Ellen said. "And not just you. Your generals, your captains, even your obligators. She has orders to slaughter you all."
Zane took a step closer to Vin, his feet crunching slightly on the packed-down weeds that made up the floor of the camp.
"Ah," he whispered. "Clever. No matter how strong your opponent is, he can't attack if you've got a knife at his throat."
Zane leaned even closer, and Vin looked up at him, their faces just inches from each other. He shook his head in the soft mists.
"But tell me, why is it that people like you and me always have to be the knives?"
Inside the tent, Straff was growing concerned.
"No one is that powerful, boy," he said. "Not even a Mistborn. She might be able to kill some of my generals, but she'd never get to me. I have my own Mistborn."
"Oh,"
Ellen said. "And why hasn't he killed her? Because he's afraid to attack? If you kill me, Father, if you even make so much as a move toward my city, then she'll begin the slaughter. Men will die like prisoners before the fountains on a day of execution."
"I thought you said he was above this kind of thing," Zane whispered. "You claimed you weren't his tool. You said he wouldn't use you as an assassin."
Vin shuffled uncomfortably.
"He's bluffing, Zane," she said. "He'd never actually do anything like that."
"She is an Allomancer like you've never seen, Father," Ellen said, voice muffled by the tent. "I've seen her fight other Allomancers. None of them can even touch her."
"Is that true?" Zane asked.
Vin paused. Ellen hadn't actually ever seen her attack other Allomancers.
"He saw me attack some soldiers once, and I've told him about my fights with other Allomancers."
"Ah," Zane said softly. "So it's only a small lie, then. Those are fine when one is king. Many things are. Exploiting one person to save an entire kingdom? What leader wouldn't pay such a cheap price? Your freedom in exchange for his victory."
"He's not using me," Vin said.
Zane stood. Vin turned slightly, watching carefully as he walked into the mists, away from tents, torches, and soldiers. He paused, standing a short distance away, looking up. Even with the light of tent and fires, this camp was claimed by the mists. It spun all around them. From within it, the torchlight and campfires seemed insignificant, like dying coals.
"What is this to him?" Zane said quietly, sweeping a hand around him. "Can he ever understand the mists?
Can he ever understand you?
He loves me, Vin said, glancing back at the shadowed forms.
They had fallen quiet for a moment, Straff obviously considering Ellen's threats.
He loves you? Zane asked. Or he loves having you?
Ellen isn't like that, Vin said. He's a good man.
Good or not, you aren't like him, Zane said, voice echoing in the night to her tin-enhanced ears. Can he understand what it is like to be one of us? Can he know the things we know, care about the things we love? Has he ever seen those?
Zane gestured upward toward the sky. Far beyond the mists, lights shone in the sky, like tiny freckles, stars, invisible to the normal eye. Only a person burning tin could penetrate the mists and see them shining. She remembered the first time Kelsier had shown them to her. She remembered how stunned she had been that the stars had been there all along, invisible beyond the mists. Zane continued to point upward.
Lord Ruler, Vin whispered, taking a small step away from the tent.
Through the swirling mists, in the reflected light of the tent, she could see something on Zane's arm. The skin was covered with thin white streaks. Scars. Zane immediately lowered his arm, hiding the scarred flesh with his sleeve.
You were in the pits of Hath-Sin, Vin said quietly. Like Kelsier.
Zane looked away.
I'm sorry, Vin said.
Zane turned back, smiling in the night. It was a firm, confident smile. He stepped forward.
I understand you, Vin.
Then he bowed slightly to her and jumped away, disappearing into the mists. Inside the room, Straff spoke to Elland.
Go. Leave here.
The carriage rolled away. Straff stood outside his tent, heedless of the mists, still feeling a bit stunned.
I let him go. Why did I let him go?
Yet even now, he could feel her touch slamming against him. One emotion after another, like a treasonous maelstrom within him, and then nothing. Like a massive hand grabbing his soul and squeezing it into painful submission. It had felt the way he thought death might. No Allomancer could be that powerful.
Zane respects her, Straff thought. And everyone says she killed the Lord Ruler. That little thing. It couldn't be.
It seemed impossible. And apparently that was just the way she wanted it to seem. Everything had been going so well. The information provided by Zane's Chondra spy had been accurate. Ellen did try to make an alliance. The frightening thing about it was that Straff might have gone along with it, assuming Ellen to be of no consequence, if the spy hadn't sent warning. Even so, Ellen had bested him. Straff had even been prepared for their feint of weakness, and he had still fallen.
She's so powerful.
A figure in black stepped out of the mists and walked up to Straff.
You look like you've seen a ghost, Father, Zane said with a smile. Your own, perhaps?
Was there anyone else out there, Zane?
Straff asked, too shaken for repartee at the moment.
Another couple of Mistborn, perhaps, helping her?
Zane shook his head.
No, she really is that strong.
He turned to walk back out into the mists.
Zane!
Straff snapped, making the man pause.
We're going to change plans. I want you to kill her.
Zane turned.
But
she's too dangerous. Plus we now have the information we wanted to get from her. They don't have the Atium.
You believe them? Zane asked.
Straff paused. After how thoroughly he'd been manipulated this evening, he wasn't going to trust anything he thought he'd learned.
No, he decided. But we'll find it another way. I want that girl dead, Zane.
Are we attacking the city for real, then?
Straff almost gave the order right then, commanding his armies to prepare for a morning assault. The preliminary attack had gone well, showing that the defenses were hardly impressive. Straff could take that wall, then use it against Set. However, Ellen's final words before departing this evening made him stop.
Send your armies against my city, father, the boy had said, and die. You've felt her power. You know what she can do. You can try and hide. You can even conquer my city. But she will find you, and she will kill you. Your only option is to wait. I'll contact you when my armies are prepared to attack Set. We'll strike together, as I said earlier.
Straff couldn't depend on that. The boy had changed, had become strong somehow. If Straff and Ellen attacked together, Straff had no illusions as to how quickly he'd be betrayed. But Straff couldn't attack Luthadel while that girl was alive, not knowing her strength, having felt her touch on his emotions.
No, he finally said to Zane's question. We won't attack. Not until you kill her.
That might be harder than you make it sound, father, Zane said. I'll need some help.
What kind of help?
A strike team. Allomancers that can't be traced.
Zane was speaking of a particular group. Most Allomancers were easy to identify because of their noble lineages. Straff, however, had access to some special resources. There was a reason that he had so many mistresses, dozens and dozens of them. Some thought it was just because he was lustful. That wasn't it at all. More mistresses meant more children, and more children born from a high noble line like his meant more Allomancers. He'd only spawned one Mistborn, but there were many Mistings.
It will be done, Straff said.
They might not survive the encounter, father, Zane warned, still standing in the mists. That awful sensation returned. The sense of nothingness, the horrible knowledge that someone else had complete and total control over his emotions. Nobody should have that much power over him, especially not Elend.
He should be dead. He came right to me, and I let him go.
Get rid of her, Straff said. Do anything you need to, Zane. Anything. Zane nodded, then walked away with a self-satisfied stroll. Straff returned to his tent and sent for Hosel again. She looked enough like Ellen's girl. It would do him good to remind himself that most of the time, he really was in control. Elend sat back in the carriage, a little stunned. I'm still alive, he thought with growing excitement. I did it. I convinced Straff to leave the city alone. For a time, at least. Luthadel's safety depended on Straff remaining frightened of Vin. But, well, any victory was an enormous one for Elend. He hadn't failed his people. He was their king, and his plan, crazy though it might have seemed, had worked. The small crown on his head suddenly didn't seem as heavy as it had before. Vin sat across from him. She didn't look nearly as pleased as she could have.
We did it, Vin, Elend said. It wasn't what we planned, but it worked. Straff won't dare attack the city now.
She nodded quietly. Elend frowned.
It's because of you that the city will be safe. You know that, right? If you hadn't been there... Well, of course, if it hadn't been for you, the entire Final Empire would still be enslaved.
Because I killed the Lord Ruler, she said quietly.
Ellen nodded.
But it was Kelsier's plan. The crew's skills, the people's strength of will that freed the Empire. I just held the knife.
You make it sound like a trivial thing, Vin, he said. It's not. You're a fantastic Allomancer. Ham says he can't beat you even in an unfair fight anymore. And you've kept the palace free of assassins. There's nobody like you in all of the Final Empire.
Strangely, his words made her huddle into the corner just a little farther. She turned, watching out the window, eyes staring into the mists.
Thank you, she said softly.
Ellen wrinkled his brow.
Every time I begin to think I've figured out what's going on in her head.
He moved over, putting an arm around her. Vin, what's wrong? She was silent, then finally shook her head, forcing a smile.
It's nothing, Ellen. You're right to be excited. You were brilliant in there. I doubt even Kelsier could have manipulated Straff so neatly.
Ellen smiled and pulled her close, impatient as the carriage rolled up to the dark city. The doors of Tin Gate opened hesitantly, and Ellen saw a group of men standing just inside of the courtyard. Ham held aloft a lantern in the mists. Ellen didn't wait for the carriage to stop on its own. He opened the door and hopped down as it was rolling to a halt. His friends began to smile eagerly. The gates thumped closed.
It worked?
Ham asked hesitantly as Ellen approached.
You did it?
Kind of, Ellen said with a smile, clasping hands with Ham, Breeze, Dachshund, and finally Spook.
Even the Chandra Orsure was there. He padded over to the carriage, waiting for Vin.
The initial feint didn't go so well. My father didn't bite on an alliance. But then I told him I'd kill him.
Wait, how was that a good idea?
Ham asked.
We overlooked one of our greatest resources, my friends, Ellen said, as Vin climbed down from the carriage.
Ellen turned, waving his hand toward her.
We have a weapon like nothing they can match. Straff expected me to come begging, and he was ready to control that situation. However, when I mentioned what would happen to him and his army if Vin's anger was roused...
My dear man, Breeze said, you went into the camp of the strongest king in the Final Empire, and you threatened him?
Yes, I did.
Brilliant.
I know, Ellen said. I told my father that he was going to let me leave his camp, and that he was going to leave Luthadel alone, otherwise I'd have Vin kill him and every general in his army.
He put his arm around Vin. She smiled at the group, but he could tell that something was still troubling her.
She doesn't think I did a good job, Ellen realized. She saw a better way to manipulate Straff, but she doesn't want to spoil my enthusiasm.
Well, guess we won't need a new king, Spook said with a smile. I was kind of looking forward to taking the job.
Ellen laughed.
I don't intend to vacate the position for quite some time yet. We'll let the people know that Straff has been cowed, if temporarily. That should boost morale a bit. Then we deal with the assembly. Hopefully they'll pass a resolution to wait for me to meet with Set like I just did with Straff.
Shall we have a celebration back at the palace? Breeze asked. As fond as I am of the mists, I doubt the courtyard is an appropriate place to be discussing these issues.
Ellen patted him on the back and nodded. Ham and Dachshund joined him and Vin, while the others took the carriage they'd come in. Ellen glanced oddly at Dachshund as he climbed into the carriage. Ordinarily, the man would have chosen the other vehicle, the one Ellen wasn't in.
Honestly, Ellen, Ham said as he settled into his seat, I'm impressed. I half thought we were going to have to raid that camp to get you back.
Ellen smiled, eyeing Dachshund, who sat down as the carriage began moving. He pulled open his satchel and took out a sealed envelope. He looked up and met Ellen's eyes.
This came from the assembly members for you a short time ago, Your Majesty.
Ellen paused. Then he took it and broke the seal.
What is it? I'm not sure, Dachshund said. But I've already started hearing rumors.
Vin leaned in, reading over Ellen's arm as he scanned the sheet inside.
Your Majesty, it read. This note is to inform you that by majority vote the Assembly has decided to invoke the Charter's no-confidence clause. We appreciate your efforts on behalf of the city, but the current situation calls for a different kind of leadership than Your Majesty can provide. We take this step with no hostility, but only resignation. We see no other alternative and must act for the good of Luthadel. We regret to have to inform you of this by letter. It was signed by all 23 members of the Assembly. Elland lowered the paper, shocked.
What?
Ham asked.
I've just been deposed, Elland said quietly.
The end of part 2.